Amen. Will you join me in giving the choir and Mr. Chris, our choir director, a round of applause for that beautiful music? Like I said to them this morning, that is a wonderful ministry to be part of. So I just want to thank you all. So this morning we're going to be in Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. If you'd like to follow along, I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 12. So Luke, chapter 24, verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told them this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I wanted to share with you today a little bit about, this may sound strange at first, but a little bit about how sermons are prepared and a little bit of difficulty, especially with a message like this. But before we get into that, I wanted to do a little observational thing with you here. Have you ever noticed that the worst piece of technology in an office is the office printer? Never works when you want it to. So if you see me squinting up here, I've got my notes on my phone, which is not very good for this particular setting. Second piece of observation, you know, the church isn't like a water park. You guys won't get wet if you sit in the front rows. It's okay. It's just kind of comical to see whatever church you go into, the first two or three rows are just empty. But it's fun, and that's fine. So now that we're a little loose, got a little laugh, let's get back into the message. And have you ever ran into a good problem to have? This is what I ran into this week. In trying to write today's sermon about Easter and the resurrection of Christ, I was listing all of the main points that I could talk about, and there were just way too many. Just thinking about the main points, Jesus died as a sin offering, Jesus took the wrath of God upon himself, fulfilled the Old Testament law and prophecies, rose from the dead, conquering sin and death. With that act, he set us free. God wants a relationship with you. And we don't have a context for that kind of love. And you see, with all these wonderful things to talk about, I'm like, where do we start? Do we start with covenantal theology? We're walking through all of God's covenants with humanity in Israel, showing how Jesus fulfilled the law in the sacrificial system for us in this awesomely complex and ingenious plan to completely circumvent death and bring us into right relationship with the Father? Or the resurrection of Christ and how Paul argues that if the resurrection did not happen, we would be the most pitied, because without the resurrection, what we do here means nothing? Or do we talk about the freedom in Christ because of his death and resurrection and the joy of his salvation? Now, I know I'm throwing a lot at you guys because there is just so much. How do you boil it down to what today means? Now, for me, one of my gifts, spiritual gifts, is teaching. And it would be very easy for me right now, kind of walk through all the systematic theology and see, this is how Jesus fulfilled this prophecy, and this is how Jesus fulfilled this covenant, new covenant, and how that is back in Jeremiah, and so on, so on. I could get into lecture mode, but we don't have that much time, and we've got dinner in the oven. So how do we look at today and boil it down to a simple message of Christ risen from the dead? That seems simple enough right there. But you see, when you look at the Bible, beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation, there is so much that God has done for us and continues to do for us. He started salvation history back in Genesis 3, all throughout the Old Testament, with all the different covenants that he created, the sacrificial systems that he created, culminating in Jesus Christ on the cross. There's just so much. And it boggles my mind. How do we boil this down to a simple message of Jesus dying for our sins so we can be reconciled to God the Father? A simple gospel message. Basically, we boil it down to this. You all know what the Grand Canyon looks like, right? Seen the pictures, possibly been there yourself, and stand on one of the edges and look out. And I think if I'm remembering the stats correctly, at one point it's even 18 miles wide. Not really sure how that's possible. I haven't been there. I've only seen pictures. It's on the bucket list. But think of the Grand Canyon. Now put yourself on one side, get out your binoculars, and look to the other side. There's God the Father. How do you get there? How do you traverse the Grand Canyon to get to God the Father? Simple answer is you can't. But that Grand Canyon, that chasm, represents sin that has entered the world. Sin that has broken the relationship between God the Father and us. And how do we span that Grand Canyon? How do we overcome sin? We can't, but Jesus did. Now, if you can, think of a massive cross that comes down and bridges the canyon. The cross that Jesus died on paid for all of our sins, made a way for us to come before God the Father in a reconciled relationship. Because Jesus Christ didn't just die to keep us from going to hell. No, we were already condemned. John 3 says that. Jesus talked to Nicodemus. The world was already condemned before he came. No, God came to save us from our sins. And he spans that chasm with the cross. He took it upon himself to pay the price and to say, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you and walk away. I'm going to send my only son to pay the penalty to get your heart. Because think about it. Adam and Eve in the garden, perfect relationship. God dwelling with humanity. God dwelling with his people. Even after the fall, God with Israel wandering through the desert, they had the tabernacle, and right in the middle of Israel as they traveled, God dwelling with his people. Into the promised land, they built the temple, God dwelling with his people. Then Jesus Christ coming to fulfill all that Old Testament law, fulfilling all the prophecies, redeeming us to God the Father, so we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us so God could dwell with his people. God loves his children and wants his children with him. That is the point. Too many messages I've heard. Jesus died for your sins. Believe, go to heaven. While technically accurate, does not fulfill the entire scope of God's love for us. Does not. The complexity just boggles my mind of how much God has done for us. So God created us. We fell into sin and could not get back by ourselves. God said, I know you can't, but I can, I will, and I did. And it doesn't matter how far we have walked. Doesn't matter how much we have done. It's one simple step, turn around, and he's there. Do you remember Jonah and the whale? That little fun kid story. Not sure why it's a kid story. It's pretty gruesome. But Jonah was swallowed by the whale because he was running from God because he didn't want to do what God told him to. That in itself is a whole other message. But he was supposed to go up to Nineveh, ran down to Tarshish, got on a boat, and was continuing to go farther away from God, was at the bottom of the ocean, in the belly of a whale, and still God was there with him and forgave him and empowered him to go do what he told him to. No matter what, you have not gone too far. And for those of us who've already accepted Christ as our Savior, this wonderful relationship puts the Holy Spirit in us that we are able to accomplish whatever he puts in front of us. We have a wonderful relationship with our church family, with our brothers and sisters, creating one body in Christ. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 12. But he goes on in chapter 13 to talk about one body in Christ through the love of Christ. Paul says he can do all things, but if he doesn't love, he's done nothing. And that's the ultimate message of Easter, is the love of Christ laying down his life for us so that we can have a restored, redeemed relationship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, to be with God. Now, all that makes a really cool message, and it's kind of abstract thought, but what does it actually mean? What does it mean to us that God came down from heaven and walked with us? I'd like to tell you a little story about a young man I didn't grow up in the church. I was baptized in a Presbyterian church when I was an infant, and then throughout my childhood, and we made it to occasional Easter and Christmas services, going back to see family. But I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't grow up knowing God. But looking back, I can see God knew me and carried me through all of that. But when I was a teenager and going through high school, finally got into church. I was going through the youth group, and I said at that time that I was just going for the pizza parties and the ski trips. That was fun stuff, right? Something to do with friends. But that God stuff, that wasn't real. Who needed that stuff? Just stories. But as I started to grow, about to graduate high school, I started asking the question, what's real? Is God actually real? But even then, I was that logical, analytical thinking kid who was in the Bible studies. You didn't want there because I'd be poking the holes in all the theories, all the stories. That couldn't happen because of this. Oh, that's just a fairy tale, superstition. That can't happen. I was that kid. God wasn't real. Bible's just a story. Yeah, I have some fun with my friends here at church, but that wasn't real. But as I got into college, I started really soul-searching about who I was, what I was doing. So I started looking for the answers. I started asking the hard questions. It's like, instead of just poking the holes, asking, well, how is this possible? Did this really happen? Did this Jesus person actually walk the earth? Or is he just some teacher? And I asked question after question after question. Even got into religious debates with some friends. And it wasn't until my second year in college, I finally said, all right, God, if you're actually there, show me. It's kind of like a dare. Show me. Come on. I've been searching for these answers, asking these questions. I haven't gotten a good answer yet. If you're there, show me. And God's power did something amazing. A miracle. I was alone in my apartment one night. I was listening to the Left Behind series on audio tape because I don't like reading that much. Oh, that I would go through a seminary where there's a lot of reading. But I was listening to the Left Behind series. Still had zero answers, but God gave me something better. I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit on my heart. And I prayed, God, I'm a sinner. And I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And for someone who only wanted all the logical answers, all the, cross the T's, dot the I's, get every answer in a row and have it all put together before claiming faith in Jesus, for God to come down at that point and say, you are my son, I'm going to save you, here I am. At that moment, I gave my life to Christ, and he completely changed my life, because I didn't know where I was going. I was in college, just floundering, taking classes, dropping classes. Didn't know what I was doing. But at that moment, God just changed my heart, changed my mind, and gave me a direction, which has led me to right here. So I say all that to say, you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to make sense of everything. All you have to do is cry out to God the Father, save my soul. I believe in Jesus Christ. And he'll show you the rest. It wasn't until years later that I got into seminary and started learning all the answers, going through apologetics and systematic theology and going, oh, that makes sense now. Now I got the answers. But God said, follow me and then I'll show you. That's the power of God. To take a, how would I describe myself? In polite terms. A pig-headed, maybe hard-headed. Just, I think at one point my dad said I was a mopey teenager. But God got a hold of my heart and said, here I am. Follow me. I said, yes, Lord. Let's do this. And the rest is history. So how do we take this awesome message of Easter and boil it down? God loved you enough to die and loved you even more to raise again so that you can have a relationship to dwell with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All because of Jesus on the cross and Jesus raised again. Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And that's kind of funny because this is a Presbyterian church and they're not used to doing that type of stuff. But I love it. I love to hear the smiles. And yes, you can hear a smile when someone's laughing. You can hear that. I love the energy in this room. I love the love that comes out of this congregation, all because of Jesus Christ. Brings us together as this family, as this body of Christ, so that we can go out and tell others boldly who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. Because there are times you might be the only Bible someone ever reads. Your story has power. How God changed your life has power in it. But here's the real question. Do you know Jesus? Is he your Lord and Savior? If he's not, I invite you to join this family. I invite you to say, God, show me your Holy Spirit. If that's you today, can we all bow our heads in prayer? Father God, I thank you so much for this wonderful church. I thank you so much for Jesus Christ on the cross. I thank you so much for Jesus raised again. And Lord, I thank you so much that you said you are coming back to be with your people, to dwell with your children. And then in that day, there'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death, because you have conquered death. And Lord, if there's anyone hearing this message today that doesn't know you, as ready to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, Lord, please help them to pray this. Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins. And I pray that, Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. Father, restore my soul and bring me into the right relationship with you, Lord. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name that I pray. Amen.